Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you on a Friday morning, and a little bit of a traffic note out there for you if you haven't heard this yet. 6440 is pretty much shut down right across the Mississippi River heading westbound. There's a pretty bad accident down there. My guess is they're going to have that cleared before the heat of the commute this morning, but Sue Thomas will keep you updated on that. Kim, I'm sure you saw that. It appeared that if that's not a fatal, I'd be surprised. That was a bad accident. There was a car mangled upside down in the middle of the highway.
Yeah, there were two cars I saw involved, one of them being upside down, completely mangled. The other one, very mangled as well, and it maybe looked to be upside down. I wouldn't be surprised if there were multiple fatalities.
Yeah, I don't know what all is going on there. There's a huge police presence there as we rolled through about 35 or 40 minutes ago, and our understanding is the highway is still closed. It's just right at Jefferson, and they're diverting traffic off. Now, there's not a big backup yet because there's just no volume out there. But as people start to head in from the Illinois side this morning, just be aware of that. If you're leaving early to come over across the bridge into Missouri on 6440, you're going to hit that. So just plan accordingly. I don't know if you could take the other bridge or not, but the Musial, that might be an option for you. Just want to give you the latest on what's going on. And look, Kim, look at my shirt I wore this morning. See, you like my shirt?
Nice.
You see it? I wore Never Surrender. This is the reason you should never surrender. Monday is the reason you should never surrender. Because I'm getting excited. I'll be leaving this weekend to head to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration on Monday. We're going to have special coverage for you here. It is Martin Luther King Day, of course. It's a holiday. Under normal circumstances, we'd have the day off. But because it's such a historic day and the inauguration, we are going to have live coverage for you here all day long, starting, of course, at 5 a.m. here on Monday morning. Kim is going to be in here, along with the former Missouri Senator John Lamping is going to be joining her with some analysis as we look at that. I'll be phoning in for you from Washington, D.C. This is what I found out yesterday, Kim. The Capitol grounds for the inauguration. The Capitol grounds open at 5 a.m. Eastern time on Monday morning.
That doesn't surprise me.
They're expecting some crowds, right? And here's the deal. It's going to be 10 degrees at 5 a.m. on Monday morning in Washington, D.C. The high is going to be 24, 25 at some point in the afternoon. Winds, potentially some snow, not like accumulating snow, but it's going to be cold enough and windy enough that there's going to be some snow blowing around. And the vast majority of us have to stand. Like, there are not just seats available to the general public. I mean, I got tickets to the inauguration, but that's not a seat to the inauguration. The VIPs get the chairs. You're not allowed to bring a chair. You can apparently bring a blanket, but you can't bring a big backpack to carry it in. The backpack has to be 12 by 12, and they're going to be checking the contents of it as you enter the Capitol grounds, I guess out of fear that you're bringing a grappling hook to scale the walls. It's going to be an experience. We as a travel group have not decided yet how early we're going to try to get over there. But my guess is if they're opening it up at 5 a.m., there will be people positioning themselves really early so that they're not way back down the Capitol Mall somewhere watching this on a big screen.
Yeah, I would guess you'd have to get there by at least 8 a.m., 7 a.m. in order to get a decent spot.
I'm guessing that. We're going to have that conversation. I mean, it's a one-day deal. But if you get there at 6 or 7 in the morning, this thing doesn't happen until noon Eastern time. So you're going to be standing there for 5 or 6 hours. You don't have a chair to sit in. You're not allowed to bring a chair. It's going to be like going to Times Square for New Year's Eve, where they corral you in. Once you're there, you can't leave. There will be access to apparently porta potties and water, but that's it. No food. No, you can't carry a cooler in. You can't do any of that.
Yeah, but good luck getting access to those porta potties once thousands of other people start arriving as well.
Yep, it should be interesting, right? It should be interesting. Looking forward to it. I'll be phoning in live reports here to Kim. And then at 11, I believe, is when the special coverage will start with Fox. Brian, we're going to carry the Brian Kilmeade Show live, of course, starting at 8 a.m. on Monday morning.
Annie Fry starts at 11.
Well, Annie's going to be here at 11. The Fox News coverage starts at 11, I think. In the event that we needed to cut in, Annie will be here leading up to her show at noon, because the inauguration is at 12 noon Eastern time, which means it starts at 11 a.m. Central time. And we should be in the midst of Fox News Radio coverage by then, I would imagine. And I'll be there. I'll be phoning in throughout the day, the Annie Fry show as well, and a little later in the Reardon show. So we'll be on the ground, and hopefully it goes off without a hitch. And we take back our country starting Monday at about noon. Looking forward to it. All right, lots to get to. Israel's ceasefire is now apparently a deal. And I don't think it's a good one, but it's a deal. We're going to talk to J.J. Carafano about that just a little bit later in the show. Congressman Eric Burleson, live from the swamp up in D.C. as well this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. But first, Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We just admit what we're all thinking. Republican nominees are H.O.T. Their interrogators are N.O.T.
As only Greg Gutfeld can point it out after Pam Bondi and Pete Hegseth and some of these other people that look like they're out of central casting are up there being questioned by Danang Dick Blumenthal.
Democrats, including you, were relentlessly harsh against special counsel Robert Hur for making an observation that proved pretty accurate.
Yeah, that Joe Biden was an elderly man with a poor memory. Remember that? They blasted that guy for daring to point that out and saying, we can't put this guy on the stand. He doesn't know what day it is.
But we want to also be clear. We don't want to be Americans. We don't want to be a part of U.S.
Yeah, that's the prime minister over in Greenland. Remember the art of the deal. Remember the art of go away, we don't want you. Now we're to the point of, well, we're open to talking about it. We just don't necessarily want to be Americans. We want to be autonomous. Hey, go for it. Be like Guam.
Virgil Strader heads the Madison County Committee for a group called the State of New Illinois. It's drawing up its own state constitution, but not looking to join Indiana.
I loved the story. I heard Kim reporting on it yesterday, and then I watched the Fox 2 report I think we've had Virgil Streeter on here before a while back, but that cracks me up. The state of Indiana and the state of Missouri, I don't think it's been reported as strongly, but the state of Missouri has talked about this with some Illinois counties as well. But the state of Indiana is trying to get this conglomeration of Illinois counties to consider moving their allegiance to Indiana. So Indiana would, the whole map would change. It would like cut into the center of the state, what is now the state of Illinois. Now, I think there are 34 states that have voted to consider seceding from Illinois, and there's another six or seven that are contemplating it. So that would be over 40 or 42 counties that are sick of their politics being strictly determined by Cook County and Chicago.
Mm-hmm. The way the Constitution's set up, though, I think it makes it very difficult for this to actually play out. Like, it just seems like it's a lot of talk right now. I don't actually think that they'll be able to separate.
But it's fun. It's fun to talk about, because what's happening in America right now is a complete and total rejection of woke leftist policies like those pushed by J.B. Pritzker and the Democrats, who have a supermajority in the legislature in Springfield, controlled by Cook County, Chicago area, and Springfield. Take those two out of the mix, it's a red state. Now, you can't take those two out of the mix because it's millions and millions of people, but the point is, in nationwide, we've rejected that nonsense, and in a lot of these counties in Illinois, in southern Illinois, they reject that nonsense. They just feel like they're trapped like rats on a sinking ship, and you can't blame them. And I feel their frustration for sure. All right, we're going to get to a quick break. Hey, when we come back, the mayor of St. Louis has a new plan to rescue the city streets. And we have a name for it now, and we're going to get to that here right after we get to...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The fray. Yeah, this is true. It's a rock and roll weekend. By the way, it's going to be on a rock and roll all the way to Washington, D.C. I can't wait. Looking forward to it. In the meantime, maybe. Kim, I'll be back here on Tuesday evening sometime and back at work in here in the studio on Wednesday. But I just have to say that if, with any luck, by the time I get back on Tuesday, people in parts of the city might have cleaner streets. Maybe.
Don't hold your breath.
Have you watched this interaction? Channel 5 has been doing a good job of covering the tit-for-tat that's going on at the top levels of St. Louis City government, now between Darlene Green and Mayor Tashara Jones and Kara Spencer, who I don't think owns a comb. When I watch her on TV, I just have to point that out. I don't get that. But what? Please declare an emergency is what... Darlene Green has finally come and said to her cohort in crime, Tashara Jones, why won't you declare an emergency and take care of this? And Tashara says, we don't need to declare an emergency. We just need to put some smaller trucks out on the streets and put some sand down. Meanwhile, people are still ice skating down their street. They can't get anything done. But we're happy to announce this morning that Tashara Jones has a new plan. And she's even attached a name to it. It's called Spring. This will all be better when it warms up. So don't worry about it. I mean, what an embarrassment. And this is the kind of thing that only comes around ever so often, right? It's not like you should be surprised that it's going to snow. Why is this going on? I mean, on a much smaller scale here in St. Louis compared to what's going on in L.A., but it's like the public officials in L.A. looking at the camera, shocked at what's happening out there. They're shocked that there are wildfires going on in Southern California, and they were clearly totally unprepared for it. In this case, they're unprepared for the ice having stuck around coming up on 2 weeks now. Monday, it'll be 2 weeks. Now, tonight we're getting rain. It's going to be in the mid-40s again this afternoon. I've noticed a huge decrease in the snow pile as I drive around. But in those hardened iced areas, like it refroze overnight, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, it's getting close to 50 later today, but then we're headed for, I'd argue, another deep freeze later on this weekend.
Right.
Which is probably why there's that fatality on Highway 40, because people are
Oh, you think ice?
Oh, I'm sure that somebody spun out and hit somebody else.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know. Jones said that she reached out to contractors to help with some of this and that only two contractors were interested and able to perform the work.
Would you want that job?
First of all, why does she have to reach out to contractors? Wouldn't the streets department in the city of St. Louis have a pickup truck and be able to do this?
Well,
do they have to subcontract out the work?
Because they probably don't have enough of those small ones. They've got a bunch of bigger ones.
Start with one or two is better than doing nothing. Why did she not start doing this yesterday when she said this was the plan, we're going to bring out these smaller trucks? Why are we not hearing from people like Carl who live in the city that they started seeing these trucks driving around on the street, the neighborhood streets?
So apparently the streets director, Bethany Williams, said yesterday that after driving around on the streets where residents were complaining, it's clear to me I had been given incorrect information from the department about the status of our secondary and hill routes. So your question might be, so why don't you fire those people? At which point she points out, as for the incorrect information I was giving, the relevant staff are civil service employees, and we will have to follow the civil service regulations in order to ensure accountability of staff. So in other words, they're civil servants, and I can't fire them. It's never too early to learn that government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore chapped nipples.
Kim on a whim.
Over the last several months, I've heard a lot of specifically WNBA players who have complained about, you know, not being paid their fair share. Angel Reese, we all know her name by now, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's been the squeaky wheel. And I want to play this clip that kind of went viral a handful of months ago of her saying she's just not paid enough. She can't even afford her bills. Listen to this.
I just hope y'all know the WNBA don't pay my bills at all. I don't even think that pays one of my bills. Literally, I'm trying to think of like my rent for where I stay at. Let me do the math real quick. Yo, I'm living beyond my means. It's like, no, my rent is more than that. It's $8,000. That WNBA check don't pay a thing. Do that even pay my car note?
Yeah, I think it pays your car note.
Yeah.
But that's sad because that really shows you, like, obviously you're fortunate
to be in a good
situation
where
you have streams of income, but think about how many people don't and have to actually live off that.
I know.
That's really sad.
I wouldn't even be able to get a sandwich if I wanted to.
I
wouldn't be able to eat. I'll only be able to live.
Yeah.
Angel Reese signed a 4-year contract with the WNBA in 2024 that was worth $324,000 and then some. That means her annual salary would be roughly $81,000. And she has opted. Now, I know Chicago's expensive. I get it. Okay, that's one reason I would probably not want to live in the city, among many other reasons. But she has apparently chosen to rent a place that is $8,000 a month You heard her say it. I'm living beyond my means. So that sounds like a personal problem to me. Now, there is some good news for Angel Reese and those like Angel Reese who feel like they're not paid fairly. And that would be that supposedly a group of high-powered investors are trying to raise billions of dollars to form a new international basketball league. This would be men, women, both of them would play. And it's all about offering players equity in pay.
But would they play together?
I don't believe they would play together. I think there would be a separate men's league and a separate women's league. They don't have a name for it. There's somebody who's a longtime friend, business partner of LeBron James, Maverick Carter, who is advising this group of investors that have come together, including the Skype co-founder and some former Facebook executive. And they're trying to raise all this money, reaching out to their other wealthy friends, I guess, to get enough to actually start this league. It's not clear. There's representative for James. LeBron James was like, hey, he's not involved in the effort. You know, wouldn't comment if he's been approached. But it would be very interesting to see if any of these players in either the WNBA, like Angel Reese, who've complained about pay, or players in the NBA, if they can actually get this league started, if they would actually move over to the league. Can you imagine losing some of the biggest players in the NBA? Because there would be some
who
I don't think it would, but there might be some stupid enough to want to just prove a point.
All they care about is money.
Well, I would probably say the same thing. But there are some very, very, very woke people who might be stupid enough to do this. They want to play games in 8 cities around the world, spending 2 weeks in each city, and it would consist of 12 teams, 6 men's teams and 6 women's teams. Singapore, one of the markets where the games will take place, it says it's not clear
what you're
going to
get here are G League players who don't have a chance of making it to the NBA who will populate that league, so you'll be watching a lesser quality product. This is the problem. The world doesn't owe you anything, Angel Reese. There are a lot of people out there who've never made $80,000 a year who would love to have your problem.
Thank you.
You're a spoiled brat, as many of these people are, but that soundbite sounds to me like an entitled 15-year-old who's angry that daddy didn't fill her car up with gas today. Nobody owes you anything. You're a working adult. You chose to sign a contract to the WNBA. I'm sorry that you're not good enough to play in the NBA, but you're not, and you're not entitled to the same salary they make. You're not. Who are these people?
So
what world do they live in? If you make $80,000 a year and you're dumb enough to sign a lease on an $8,000 a month apartment, you're just too stupid to live.
Do you think some of the players like Angel Reese and the WNBA would be interested in this? Because, it's all about equity.
Well,
now, obviously,
might.
The question would be, can they have the same level of pay? Would she even get to that $80,000? And the other thing you heard her say in that video was that she has other streams of revenue. So she has endorsements and other deals
that
help her rake in hundreds of thousands of dollars. I refuse to believe that girl is not making a bunch
of money.
She's
making plenty
of money. She's making plenty. She's one of the most well-known names aside from Caitlin Clark right now in the WNBA. And not the best reasons, because she's been complaining about everything and vocal about all this mistreatment that she says the women have. But I don't think that she would have the same, even if she were to make, say, $81,000, like the same salary in this new equitable league, they won't have the same attention as the WNBA.
No.
So she probably wouldn't get the same endorsement. So then it's just a whole new problem.
They're going to complain about having to fly coach when they fly around Europe to their basketball games. Now they're angry about that. And they wouldn't be flying private planes now if it wasn't for Caitlin Clark. It up to this past year, the WNBA teams flew city to city to play their games on a coach. They flew commercial airlines until this year, when the popularity of the league surged and they could start affording to fly private.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they were selling out games like they had never done before, and it was any game that basically Caitlin Clark participated in.
It wasn't because I'm not saying Angel Reese isn't a decent player. But she's not the reason the WNBA has gotten so successful. And she's certainly not the top reason. and that she's not going to get paid like she's the top reason. This is some pie-in-the-sky liberal hokey-pokey. If this was legitimate, if they could legitimately make more money playing in Europe, the WNBA would dissolve tomorrow, and they'd all fly to Europe like Brittany Griner was trying to do, playing in some winter league in Russia, so she could make extra money.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the NBA has been playing more international games, right? They have some league in Africa or something like that, and they've been playing more games abroad. So now you would have more direct competition. This is, I would be very interested to see if they can actually raise enough money to get this league started. And not only that, would they actually be able to entice some of these players to go over in the name of equity? And now with Trump taking office, how does this, what kind of impact does this have? Because you have all these companies who are ditching their DEI policies.
Trump will put a tariff on them if they fly to Europe. No, I'm just kidding.
He probably would. And now he's going to have the External Revenue Service started just so he can collect money from the tariffs.
We listened to this nonsense interview on the way in this morning, and I don't know if you, I'm sure you probably heard it, Kim, if you were listening to the Gordon Deal show, where the guy's trying to argue that, you know, despite what white men think, DEI is not costing them jobs. This moron, whoever they were interviewing for this interview, clearly doesn't realize that. He goes, what we need to make sure of with these companies canceling DEI, that doesn't go back the other direction. Well, the direction it's going is reverse discrimination. What you want is equality, not equity.
I would argue I've actually been passed up for a job because of that. Now, I didn't take it to that level where I went to management and complained about it. I just move forward. But I'll tell you what, in news, that's absolutely a thing. And it was very obvious to my coworkers that I should have had that job. This is not in St. Louis, a different market. And I was passed up for it.
Well, again,
and then the other woman didn't last very long.
Meritocracy has nothing to do with it. It is reverse discrimination because you check a box. It's been going on for years. And now there's this fear on the other side that, oh, my gosh, it may go back the other way. What if they give the No, that shouldn't happen either. The best person for the job should get the job. And if you do it any other way, it's a quota and it's reverse discrimination. And I'll be interested to see where this goes. There may be somebody rich enough that they could throw enough money at this thing to make it stick to the wall for a couple of years. Yeah. But if it's not putting butts in the seats and basketball is not that popular in Europe, not like soccer and some of their other sports, I don't see that going anywhere.
I don't see this. Yeah. If it can get anywhere, I think it will fizz out very quickly.
Man, far as I'm concerned, take Angel with you.
And Brittany Griner, too. You can absolutely have her, too.
Yeah, no kidding. These people didn't even have the common sense to put Caitlin Clark on the Olympic team. They weren't even smart enough to realize that more people would watch if you had Caitlin Clark on there. Because they don't care.
It'd be one thing if Caitlin Clark didn't deserve it, but she's such a phenomenal player that she absolutely, skill-wise, she deserved to be there.
They are just, they're just absolutely hateful is what they are. All right, coming up, we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on with this ceasefire that allegedly was signed overnight. I got Jim Carafano later in the show to talk about it, but I'll update you on what we know right now when we come back.
Joe Biden leaves office with the lowest approval rating of his presidency, 36%. The good news is he won't remember any of it.
Wow, Jimmy Kimmel telling a Biden joke. What's going on? You think his somebody over there at ABC said, you know, Jimmy, you're eventually going to have to tell jokes about more than just one side of the political aisle. I mean, Biden's almost out of office. There's nothing else you can get out of this. And Kimmel said, okay, let the writers put a couple of Joe Biden jokes in tonight and I'll read them.
President Biden last night delivered his farewell address to the nation. He did it live from the Oval Office. The speech was 18 minutes long, which is also the amount of time it takes the president to pee.
Yeah. All right. Those were his two Biden jokes last night.
Yeah, but how many Trump jokes is he about to make?
All of them.
I mean, just all of them, basically, is what he did. Joe Biden, meanwhile, is out doing interviews with MSDNC because he wants to cement his legacy. And I don't even parts of it. I'm not even sure what Joe was talking about, but there are some clips out there from it this morning. Here's one of them. Listen.
You've heard Barack get mad at me when I was a kid all the time. He said, I know, all politics is personal.
Yeah.
Well, it's about understanding what motivates the other guy, other woman, and what their interests are.
There were times when the guy was just looking at him like, Mr. President, what are you talking about exactly?
What do you think Biden's legacy is? Because I would argue it would be inflation, a botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, and lots of beach time in Delaware.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. I mean, everybody. So was it the Wall Street Journal reporter they had on this morning? Was it the Yahoo columnist who was talking about
Yahoo?
The Joe Biden is leaving Donald Trump with a good economy, so he can say what he wants about it. But at the end of the day, Donald Trump's inheriting a good economy, and presidents don't really have that big of an influence on inflation and earned income
gas
and
prices.
Gas prices anyway. Well, no, they don't. What I texted Kim was, I wonder which vending machine this guy got his business degree out of. It wasn't the one that had common sense at the top of it, because Joe Biden's policies, Kim, to your point, he was bragging in this interview about how he broke trickle-down economics. He's approached government in a whole new way. Because, you know, trickle-down says if you put enough money back in people's pockets, they're going to go out and spend it and everybody's going to do better. But my dad said he never saw anything trickle down to his kitchen table. This is what Joe Biden says yesterday in this interview. Listen, hold on. Here it is.
You've heard Barack get mad at me when I was a kid all the time. He said, I know, all politics.
Wrong.
There's two things I'm proud of so far. I know they'll last. We changed the basic formula of how to make an economy work. The trickle-down stuff about, well, let the people go out and make a lot of money and the benefits will flow from that will trickle down to middle class and working class people. My dad used to say, not a whole lot ever trickled down to his kitchen table.
Here's what none of these leftists understand. Joe Biden's reaction to everything is give the government more of your money and we're better at deciding how to spend your money than you are. It's the basic problem with liberalism. That's what they believe. They pray at the altar of big government. That's why they hate trickle-down economics, because it means you get to keep more of your money and decide how to spend it. And yes, Joe Biden's legacy is going to be he came in facing a pandemic. And his gut reaction to it was the same as every liberal reaction ever in the history of the United States is we need to throw more money at this. And they overspent by trillions of dollars, so much so cities like St. Louis still hadn't decided how to give it all the way to their various constituencies of Mayor Jones. Money nobody needed. And that's what led us to the inflation problems that have plagued us the last 3 years. How can they not get that? I don't have a business degree from Harvard, but I understand it. But Joe Biden didn't. And that'll be part of his enduring legacy, is how he wrecked that ship for sure. All right, coming up, we'll get you a check of business with Nicole Murray next hour. Jim Carafano at about 7:20 on the Israel situation.
Get more at 971talk.com.